Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Hello, friends. We're back again. It's Fightful Overbooked. What is it? November 12th, 2023. Joel and Kate at 8, because once in a while we like to show up for work on any non-specific date.
Twice in the same month.
That's a big...
What?
It's a big accomplishment for us.
My goodness. You messaged me earlier and said, are we getting bumped because of sour graphs again? And I said, no, I'm doing double duty tonight because I love this game, Joel.
What a badass. I saw Alex had posted last night as I was getting into bed. I saw, oh, went to a family thing late, so I'm probably gonna do, you know, sour graps tomorrow night on being Sunday, and Kate will be with me. And I'm like, oh, there goes my show. And then I realized, you know, he said 9:30 start. I'm like, well, Kate and I only go 2 hours when we, you know, really go crazy. And then we just realized, let's just go 90 minutes and then do 3 hours instead. Go crazy.
Yeah, exactly. We'll be on sour graphs. We'll start at 1 a.m. Eastern. And no, I'm excited. I like doing this show. It's just like we don't always line up so easily. But yeah, it'll probably be easier to do it in an hour and a half when we don't have like 6 weeks of things to catch up on.
We have that's the problem with our schedules. You and I have enough shows that we do both. You have your own channel, Miss Kate Fabe, go follow that over on YouTube. And of course you do stuff on Fightful, as do I on Overbooked and of course on the main and blah, blah, blah. So like you get to a point where you're just like, do people really care about me talking? Oh, and you've also got Mark Order. Sorry. I forgot about Mark Order Pod.
Thanks for all the upfront plugs though.
Buddy, what am I here for?
Darling.
Listen, we get our plugs in and out. As we do. Anyway, no, it's just like, do people really want to hear me regurgitate things that I might have said on In the Weeds for like an entire week, three times in a week, plus Impact stuff on a Thursday night? No one watches the Impact show. I get it. Like three people do, and one of them for some reason is Steve Macklin. I know. I know. Anyway, but yeah, I still like doing the show because Kate and I are idiots, and it's great.
Yes, that is a big part of it is... I think people like it when I'm mean to you. So I show up to be mean to you and everybody enjoys it because you are our sad clown.
I thought Alex was a sad clown. What did I do to suddenly gain sad clown status?
That's a good question. I don't know. I mean, Jeremy's been at it for years of just being mean to you, but... no, I sincerely like it because I feel like, one, it's nice for us to pull back to an overview perspective. Like, it's nice to look at the week as a whole and just kind of touch on stuff. And the other piece of it is, like, we both do tons of shows at Fightful, and we don't cross streams outside of this all that often. So it is nice to, like, get to talk to you because I... feel like you're holding down the morning fort and I'm holding down the night shift most nights. So it's nice to kind of cross over.
I used to be like you. I used to be young and full of piss and vinegar. Then I had a kid who took a 20-minute nap today, so that was hell on earth for me. But whatever, that's just kind of what I get now.
I took a 20-minute nap and nobody gives a shit. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but the thing is, your nap is supposed to be 20 minutes. This is supposed to be at least an hour and a half. Even that's the low end for him. God, what a life you live. Imagine being 19 months old. God, so good.
Oh my gosh, I know. Even with my dog, I look at her and I'm like, no wonder you're always happy. Like, she's always, that dog is always happy. The dog's never upset. Even, she's the kind of dog that if another dog growls at her, she will, like, just get down on the ground in submission pose and be like, I'm so sorry I did something to upset you, like, that caused you to growl at me. And I was like, of course you're always happy. Like, you just lay here and I give you attention. All of your meals are taken care of. You don't have to work. You don't pay rent.
I have a very important question for you.
Yes.
Friday. Did you break into Barbie's dream house?
I did not. I was in my sister's apartment. Well, actually, the past 2 weeks I've been in my sister's apartment because her birthday was last weekend and my dad's birthday was this weekend and we celebrated in the city. And she has, yes, a very pink wall and a very orange couch that looks like it's from Friends, but smaller.
Oh my God.
I said Jeremy Lambert's name and I summoned him.
That's a big problem. He's up later than I am. That's not supposed to happen.
Yeah.
I'm not supposed to be, hey, you're not supposed to be, you're early. We're not supposed to be doing anything. Yeah, until like 12
hours at least. Yeah.
Yeah, you got some time. I guys, I gotta make a thumbnail for tomorrow.
You know what the biggest surprise is?
What's that?
That you guys are actually doing this show.
Look, we already touched on that. You're late.
Two times in 1 month. To what do people
really
honor? Yeah.
Really? Mm-hmm. Wow.
It's yeah. True. Do you get
was
recent haircut? I feel like you got a fresh look going, Jeremy.
Yeah, like 3 weeks ago. Watch the product.
Okay, first of all.
I think it just feels like you pushed the hair back tonight.
It looks sleek. I'm giving you a compliment for once. Just,
it's unwashed. That's basically what it is.
All right, going wrestling fan chic tonight.
Yeah. That's basically all it is. Why was I being talked about on this show? I wasn't actually watching. I just wanted to say hi.
Typical.
Oh, I was just saying that like Joel and I both do so many shows, but this is the only show that we get to do together. And it's fun because I get to pick on Joel. I don't have the opportunity to do it multiple times a week like Jeremy Lambert does. You know what I mean?
It's fun to fire Joel multiple times a week.
I believe it. I'm jealous.
Okay. I'm going to pull this up. Mike Straw, our past 5 minutes, go fuck yourself.
And to counter with that, Kim Gray sent a super chat. They can't listen live, but wanted to say hi. Can't wait to catch up tomorrow. Taking 2 mental health days off that are desperately needed. Kim, I hope those days are fantastic and full of rest and full of relaxation and whatever, ever, ever you need to get yourself back on track.
Yes. Oh my gosh. Take your days when you can. My goodness. Yes. If there's anything I learned. And Kim's always so supportive of us. We appreciate that.
Yes, Kim is great. Mike Straw knows why I told him that, by the way. Out my football team is out catching strays on Sunday. We lost already. Let me rest, okay? let me rest that my football team sucks. I used a Seth Rollins post to rant about my terrible football team. And you know what happens when that? I clearly showed bias in that article. Very clear bias. Mm-hmm. No one calls me out on it. Instead, they call out Sean for something that Molly Bell wrote. Like,
yeah. Why? Here's the thing.
You just can't trust that Molly Bell.
She was biased with something as serious as wrestling, and her bias showed that I can't even believe I'm about to say this out loud on air, but that she likes a wrestling promotion, which is just egregious in an opinion piece that like she likes wrestling. I feel like all the best wrestling opinion pieces are done by people that don't like wrestling. I think that's very fair to say.
That's what I was getting at. That's why I, a professional, goes and does a wrestling show that gets, I get paid for it as somebody who famously hates professional wrestling.
There you go.
Yeah, you hate AEW. You're a big time AEW hater.
Best ITW bit I've ever done.
You can't stand AEW. It's honestly upsetting. I need to get Molly Bell on to bring some
balance,
journalistic,
right?
Integrity. Yeah. To the show. Unlike you, Joel. All right. Y'all enjoy your show. Have a good Sunday. Basketball's on.
Enjoy basketball, Jeremy. Jeremy's another one I never get to like share screen with. So I love it when he pops on.
It's really just me and Jensen, and then I guess SB3 and sometimes Cher Delaware.
Yeah, it's true. It really is like the day shift or the night shift. It's funny.
I've said this before. Like my Thursdays suck because I've got stuff going. Like I'm up at like 6:30 every morning, and like my day goes until 4 o'clock when I do KYN for Jimmy's Know Your News channel that you're also on, and then I am off until I got to cover Impact, and Impact for the next 2 weeks a month is a slog because there are no stories being told for the next little while till they get to Hard to Kill.
No, but you don't have your Thursday night champion just vacating the title for no fucking reason. So you got that going on, which is pretty neat. Also,
we have a champion who got hurt in the UK and still wrestled Jonathan Gresham 3 weeks ago, but on air last night or this past Thursday.
I was going to say, though, it sounds like you're at least getting some really incredible matches in those tapings. Like, even though you're stuck until the rebrand kind of in this weird spot, like Shelley versus Gresham, I heard great things about Sunny versus Trinity is Sunny Kiss, right? Versus Trin is next week or happened already?
That's next week, okay. As is Ospreay and Alexander. They're going to be airing this Thursday. Like there's a lot of great wrestling that has happened and they're going to be airing. And then they just taped last night. They did IPWF, which is their throwback 80s style kind of BS, nothing matters type of show. I was this close to going because at like 12:30, I got an email being like, hey, you want to come? And I sent a message to my father-in-law who lives near the venue. I was like, hey, do you and my brother-in-law, who's like 18 years old, I was like, do you guys want to go to this wrestling show? I'm like, you might like it because you liked wrestling in the 80s. And that's basically what this is. I'm like, let me get back to you. And like 40 minutes later, like, nah. And I was like, good, because I didn't want to go that badly. And it sounds like they had a good time. And I'm sure that it's an entertaining product. But like, IPWF just has not been for me. And I've said this before on the main channel. We're not going to cover it. Like, we're probably just going to take that week off because what are we going to talk about? Like, we're not up on the IPWF lore. It doesn't do anything for us talking about it on the show. Like, people are going to go and enjoy it, and that's fine. But it's, you know, it's no Wrestle House.
Yeah. I loved Wrestle House, honestly. I thought that was super fun. But yeah, I can't.
Two of the only fans.
Imagine Cresta being like, oh, yeah, I can't wait. that feels like the least her stuff in the world. So
Cresta would probably find so much to enjoy about IPWF because it's so over the top. But then I have to remind her about the time Matt Stryker basically got hammered doing commentary, or at least pretending to be, and it was very awkward to watch live.
Better than a cocaine spot, so, am I right?
Well, one will get you a TV deal, the other one. By the way, speaking of TV deals, leave us a thumbs up on the video and maybe we'll get one as well. And subscribe to us here at Fightful Overbook because our TV deals include dropping content every single day. And of course, donate a super chat like our pal Kim did earlier. Any amount, get your question statement read on the air. And we love it because you support us here on the channel.
Like, we're going to get a TV deal with Sean doing coke on these post shows. I mean, my God.
You know what he's doing? He's just doing it so that his common Bengals W thing gets more attention instead. So that he gets that common Bengals TV deal.
The sinister Seanister, as we call him.
Really? That's what y'all call him now?
That's what I'm calling him.
It's like Sean Spears. Everyone's like, you can do better. And I'm like, I don't know if I can. That's the problem.
I feel like I have one complaint about Sean Spears, but it's an enormous one. He doesn't use the spear. Really?
It's because everywhere he's worked, he's had someone who does it better than he does.
True. That is a tough one. But like, if you're going to name yourself after a move, like you can't, what if he was Sean Canadian Destroyers, you'd expect him to have to do a Canadian Destroyer.
That's true.
I love Sean Spears. I feel like he's wildly underrated, to be honest. I felt that way in WWE and AEW. So
listen, man, the dude co-owns a very popular and very well-established wrestling school. He got Chris Danger's first match in DPW after all. You and I talked about this off the air. I'm like, people are going to get weird about it because they don't realize that Spears trained Chris Danger. It makes sense to face your trainer in the first match. So it's nice. It sucks that Adam Cole can't go, but if you're going to face anyone, a trainer who has years of experience and multiple titles under his belt, that's a pretty good deal.
You know what? I'm going to go on record as saying that I think it was really selfish of Adam Cole to intentionally injure himself to not show up at that appearance. Like, you know, it's a big time in the indies. Like, just call out with some respect instead of intentionally injuring yourself to not do that match. Maybe he's scared he's gonna look bad because Twitch gamer, who I'm definitely familiar with, and that's what he definitely does, right?
Yes, dank off.
Nailed it. Yeah,
you're doing great, honey.
I'm doing great, sweetie. Yeah, I think he's scared that guy was going to be better than them. That guy, again, who I'm super familiar with because of my being so in touch with Twitch gaming stuff. And I think he got injured and put himself out of work for months because of this. So,
do you watch Adam Cole's Twitch channel?
Only when MJF shows up on it.
Those were good.
I have sometimes. I've seen some of the stuff there, and I do like it. There's a lot of content out there, Joel.
There is. Even I can't keep up.
Yeah.
Last night, I listen, I'm a spoilers guy. I read spoilers, whether it's Impact or AEW Rampage when it's not live, or Collision when it wasn't live last night. Read the spoilers and I said, yeah, okay, I'll pay attention to it. And I watched on one screen, and on the other screen, my TV here, I sat in my chair behind me and I, you know, played Twitch. And by Twitch, I mean Switch.
Switch.
We're live on Twitch. That's about it.
We are. You can donate bits.
That's right.
Twitch.tv/FightfulGaming.
Come on. Get your bits in. Why don't you do the thing?
Show us your bitties, as I like to say.
Ah, I was about to say the other thing, which the supporting women, but it feels like you saying show us your bitties feels a little bit like several thousands of years.
It's anyway. A feminist statement to show people your bitties.
I was about to say something that I shouldn't say out loud, so I won't.
Fair enough. Fair enough.
Yes.
Not worse than my blue chew segue this past week, but. Thank you, Ricardo.
Ricardo, by the way, I'm sorry I missed your super chat during the Impact stream. You had asked SB3 about his thoughts about Jay White taking the Triple B. I asked him for his comments off the air, and SB3 said, it sucks. Just like I say, it sucks. But yes, for the Leggy Blonde Onion, and I guess you too. Well, thank you, Leggy Blonde Onion. Bring back Mario Kart. I was playing Mario Kart last night. That's what I was keeping busy with while watching Collision.
Brian loved your Mario Kart stream. He's so sad about it.
We loved them too. Jensen and I had such fun on Thursday nights when no one was covering Impact on the site, when Impact was no longer going live on Twitch for free, we just played Mario Kart. It was blissful. There was no wrestling. We loved it.
And now here we are.
Every single day. There's wrestling.
There is. That's wild. It's funny because I find myself gravitating so much more towards stuff that is not on like main channels. Like, I feel like this has not been a good stretch for AEW, though. I think they've had some statement episodes of trying to turn things around. I certainly think like them doing their little G1 situation is a good call. That'll be something that drives live attendance. That'll be something that feels like it's a good way to get fresh talent on screen in a meaningful way. I thought what they did with Daniel Garcia was trying to send a message. Like, it feels like they are trying to steer the ship back the other way. But I've just been like very into New Japan and New Japan Strong kind of all year. ROH, I want to like. And I like a lot of the talent there. find myself kind of like getting into, I guess that's just like, that's just, I was thinking about this earlier today. Like, I wish there was more time for me to catch up on stuff. Like, I can't do it. Like, Stardom and CMLL and AAA, like all these things where I see all these crossovers happening. Like, I would love to be able to dive into more, but it is crazy how oversaturated we are. But I just, as WWE is kind of getting back on track, but like when Vince is booking it, it's not been the most for me product, and I cover it. AEW was not on track. Feels like it's getting back on track, which is good. But for a while there was like not in a style that I like, largely because it felt like it was going in the same direction of WWE. So it's funny how much, like, I don't know, stop geeking out about stuff in a negative way and go find what you like, because it's out there. Like, there's so much wrestling happening right now.
There's no reason not to find something that you like. And Jeremy and I have harped on this on In the Weeds quite a lot. And it's the idea that, you know, you don't have to watch everything. There's so many people.
Well, I do.
Well, yeah, listen.
I get paid too.
Definitely a lot of us do, which, like, for better or worse, plays a role. But for those who don't, it's like, no one's pointing a gun at your head and being like, you got to watch this. It's the same thing. I said this for WrestleMania week too. If you're going for WrestleMania week or any big major wrestling week where there are independent shows happening around, you don't need to attend every single show. You can take time off and enjoy the city or enjoy the sights or take a nap, do whatever you need to do. Like, don't feel like you have to be at every show. And if you are the type of person who wants to be at every show, you can also dip in for a couple of matches and then leave if you have people on the card or a match that you're specifically wanting to go to. You don't need to be there for all 3 hours. You paid your money. You supported the
people.
You can dip. You're good. The support is the money you plop down at the merch table and at the entry fee at the door.
But, like, just give us your money instead. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, for sure. If you're not doing that, I don't know what's wrong with you. Yeah, it is like Ricardo says, thoughts on Danhausen being the devil. Very evil. That's true. Could you imagine him just showing up and being like, it is I am the devil. I did this. And everyone just being like, no, you didn't. Go away.
No, you didn't.
How do you know?
I feel like he'll be on Collision more, which I think will be good, because that program, I think, it stayed, in my opinion, like, everything has their back and forth. And before I say this, I do recognize that they had a 69-day celebration last week. But for the most part, like, it still has that a little bit more pure, less distraction finishy kind of feel, and longer matches. Like, it kind of kept true to what I feel like CM Punk was laying out, with some exceptions, with some back and forth. But I think breaking up that kind of programming with a Danhausen is just a really, really fun idea. Though we also got that Dalton Castle on there the past 2 weeks, so I am a happy, happy girl.
I love Dalton Castle.
And you see out of my eye, I can't, was one of the funniest things I've ever heard.
I've loved Dalton Castle. I do. When he got injured and his back was jacked up, and it, you know, for all intents and purposes, it still is. It's hard sometimes watching him perform. You know what I mean? Cause, like, he's so good, and I hate to say he used to be better, but I think he'll also agree that, like, there was a time he could do more, and just the back brace stuff has really put a damper on him. I hope that whatever it is, I hope they can still work at like a comfortable pace for him, but it's different.
I mean, he hit JD Drake with a bangering the other day, so I'm guessing his back feels pretty all right now, but
I hope so.
He's just such a, it's funny being at some live tapings too. Those live ROH tapings are not the best. Like, it can get really rough. And as soon as that guy's music hits, like, tremendous pop, everybody's attention is on him, and it's really, really great. And to see him getting that reception on Collision is awesome, because I didn't know how much people knew about him outside of ROH until he worked Grand Slam last year and got a huge reception. I was like, oh, this is awesome. Like, I didn't realize how many people knew him and were in on him, because it is such, I mean, he's wrestling Freddie Mercury. He comes out with boys dressed as peacocks. Like, that's not for everyone, but he's pretty massively over. And I'm glad to see, like, the TV crowds responding to him because he's so great. And I've said a few times, like, sometimes people or promotions lead creative in a place with that type of character into a place where it shouldn't go. Like, the flamboyance can get very misconstrued as kind of a lot of, like, those mid-90s stereotypical things. And Dalton's never been that way. And I just have loved the way he's stayed the course this entire time with who he is as a character. But yeah, can kick off this wrestling part of the show with some Dalton Castle love. I love that.
Of course. Did you ever watch this? There's a very, I feel like it's an underrated segment. It was Bobby Fish's fish tank when he was in ROH and he brought in Dalton Castle. This is in like 2016. And they're in a gym. Like, they're in a gym.
Vaguely, I remember this.
And it's such a funny, stupid segment because the boys all make a throne for Dalton Castle and they make one for Bobby Fish and they end up sitting on the throne of boys and doing their segment. And it feels like it's not even close to rehearsed. It's so funny. Go find it. Just search Fish Tank ROH Dalton Castle and it's probably the first thing that pops up. It's a really funny segment.
He's the best. You saying that they were in a gym now, I'm starting to remember all of that.
Yeah, just see the back.
It is so random. It's like,
there's nobody there. This is really funny shit.
I'll definitely have to.
Oh my.
Definitely have to, but yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like that's been nice, and like seeing The Righteous on main TV with Lance Archer is nice. Like, it felt like a couple weeks ago their core audience reacted not just to the Ric Flair sighting, but the way things were trending in general. Like, man, it feels like they kind of jumped the shark, and it feels like they then turned the page to go back to what they'd been doing a little bit. We were like starting to get some banger matches, starting to see some fresher young talent again, and I really hope it continues in that direction because they've used their legends really well. And then all of a sudden you look up and you're like, it's Ric Flair and the Big Show and, you know what I mean? Like, and Jeff Jarrett all the time. Like, so I'm glad about that aspect of it. Because there's just too much young talent there that were on a track and then we're not, like, all of a sudden have been tossed in the background.
Ryan's asking, where's Stu? You want to know when you're going to see Stu next in AEW? December 5th. Montreal.
I mean, I hope so. I hope it's sooner than that, but I hope he gets booked for those tapings. It's just weird because ROH is such a frustrating product right now of everything that we talk about on Thursday, so I won't reiterate it here. But they had two really great stories that I loved, and one of them was the Stu Grayson adoption angle with the Dark Order and the Righteous, and they just never paid it off. And he's working the indies, so he's probably healthy, I would assume. But the fact that Dark Order hasn't been on TV also, I'm hoping there's something a little bit more substantive around the corner for that then. But it was such a well-built story. And Stu Grayson's just such an outstanding in-ring worker that I'm like, what aren't we doing with this guy again?
Yeah.
So we'll see.
That's one of the more frustrating points for people who follow, you know, who comes in, who comes out. And Stu Grayson left. He came back at the Winnipeg tapings and suddenly he was All Elite again. They put that in parentheses on his graphic. And now it's like, yeah, but where is he now? He did the pay-per-view in July for ROH. And then it was like, he's gone.
He's kind of gone again. Yep.
Yeah,
it's a frustrating one.
It's really strange.
Because he's so damn good. Like, I'm waiting for him and Josh Woods 6 month arc. Like, give me like Stu in the pure division of ROH. You can't tell me that's not a good idea. So
put him in the Continental Classic.
Maybe Stu Grayson's the devil.
I don't hate that.
And I actually would love that.
And Dark Order are actually the guys, the behind the mask, or behind the you know, beating people up.
Wouldn't be mad about it. I'm 97% sure Alex Coghlan was just trolling, or maybe it was Gabe Kidd, probably Gabe Kidd because his Twitter game is, but the idea of the Bullet Club coming in to be the ones to equalize Bullet Club Gold is the most salivating payoff that you could get I don't think that's it, but man, that would be so good.
Well, we talked about it going into Wrestle Dream. I was like, what if it's the Bullet Club? What if it's Dave Finley? What if it's War Dogs? What if it's the young guys? Like, what if? And then I think the general feeling was like, nah, it's not big enough, because it isn't. Like, in the AEW crowd, the AEW fan base is just going to be like, all right, but it's not our guys. What's the payoff? It does feel like it needs to be an AEW story, not just a crossover New Japan. We already kicked you out. What are you doing here? Like, what's the battle after that? The battle for Bullet Club? They're just going to be like, there's more money for us because it's just more Bullet Club merch. And even then, it's like, Gato's going to come in and be like, more money for me. And Jay White's going to be like, yeah, I guess so.
It's the timing that's off for me. If this was heading into Forbidden Door, I would be all for it. Like, that would be awesome. But I don't think they're going to have that level of crossover with such an important stable, legacy-wise and currently in New Japan, showing up for this angle. But holy hell, would just even from a the workers involved standpoint, it would be great. But we'll see. It could go so many directions. A lot of people are very invested in trying to figure out who it is. And I'm kind of like, it could be a lot of people. So I'm excited to find out who it is.
There have been so many people just giving their thoughts on it. And that's fine. Let's go.
We should have said it was CM Punk and put it on the thumbnail. We would have gotten our... Fine.
Listen, I'm sure Steve and Larson are going to do that next week. It's fine. They can do that. They can get away with it. They've got a great bit going where they're doing like a CM Punk like news brief, and then they start singing a song, and at first they were super into it, and now they've done it so many times that they just hate doing the song. it's a really good bit. I wish I had thought of that. Jay Miller says, well, how about Sammy Callahan being the devil? Here's the thing about that. Do you really want Sammy Callahan to do the devil thing? Because then every week you got to listen to, I'm the devil and I'm the guy that you got. I hate Sammy Callahan's performance voice. I couldn't.
I have not been that in on the most recent Sammy Callahan stuff. I really liked a lot of the stuff he did in Impact. I was not super into what he was doing towards the end of Impact. Like, before we knew that Tessa Blanchard was a B-word.
Blanchard? That's her last name, a B-word. Her B-word is the last
Yeah, exactly.
Blanchard.
Their intergender feud that got built out, I thought was one of the most compelling ways to build out an intergender feud. Like, I thought they did really, really great work. He's also a big, like, deathmatch dude, and I get a little fatigued on that stuff sometimes in general, but like, I just haven't found his work anything super inspiring of like the past couple years. Hasn't looked like in the best shape either. It just hasn't been super for me, but we'll see. I don't think Sammy Callahan and MJF feels like a pairing that works either.
Sammy does really great work behind the scenes. He's got a great mind for wrestling, and if you listen to an interview or you see how he books Revolver, like, it's good. There's some good stuff there. Work wise, yeah, when he's on, he's on. But I get what you're saying. He's been doing fewer plunder matches, or at least he was doing fewer plunder matches in Impact. And when he goes, he can go. He teamed with Rich Swann on his way out, so that was pretty cool to see. But other than that, yeah, I largely agree with you. He's not everyone's cup of tea, and I understand why. But it's the voice. He does that performative voice, and it just, go watch his interview with Sean. Okay, just watch it for anyone. Just watch that. And the first 5 minutes, it's just he's in character, and I've heard him talk normally. It's still the same, but it's less like, it's not up to 11.
These go to 11.
Yes. It's the sustain on these.
Know what an underrated line from Spinal Tap is?
What's that?
She was like, I think I need to stop eating sugar. She can tell my larynx is fat or something. He's on the phone with, it's definitely, she knows my larynx is fat, because I thought that was one of the funniest things ever. But he was like, I need to cut back on the sugar. My larynx is fat, I think he said. It's so funny.
I think, she says my larynx is too fat.
Yeah, it kills me.
Oh my god. Ricardo sent a super chat as well saying, tried explaining Dalton Castle to my girlfriend, didn't go well.
You just said to Zoom. I mean, you can say he's wrestling Freddie Mercury because that's what he is. But you got to witness Dalton, you know?
Yeah. And also, like, him and Emi Sakura, they should probably be a team.
They should. I really need a Dalton Castle. It doesn't have to be anything more than them passing even on the ramp. But Dalton Castle and Timeless Toni Storm need to have an interaction at some point. Like, it has to happen. But I love that Dalton's getting his fight. Even on ROH, there was a promo where the first half of it, I was like, this is a rare Dalton Castle L. Like, it didn't work because he was kind of was saying, like, this story that he's been telling of he's got to give the people of ROH what they need. And in it, you were kind of like, well, they want Eddie. The Queen in the Castle is very good.
That's it.
Like, they've wanted Eddie Kingston, so that piece of it didn't work. And he had said something about, like, Eddie Kingston not being unique, and I was like, that doesn't really click. And then he, of course, turned the corner. He had a broken nose and was like, I wanted cheese, and the fondue place was closed, so you know what I did? I busted it open with my, I shattered the glass with my face. That's exactly what I'm gonna do to your sternum, Eddie Kingston. I was like, and we're back! Let's go! National treasure. National treasure. I also saw a lot of love for Nigel McGuinness's commentary on Saturday on my timeline, and that made me so happy because he's just the best. Yes. And it's been showing up more and more and more the more settled he gets into Collision. And it just made me so happy.
And he's always been good at this. Like, even back to Ring of Honor, when he was doing it there, when he was doing it in WWE, he was great at that.
NXT UK had the best table for a long time. Yeah,
there was some really good stuff there. Luis sent a super chat as well. Thank you, Luis. This is to send some love to y'all and to manifest Atlantis versus Roddy Strong in a backbreaker battle for the AEW G1. We're just gonna, let's just call it the E1. We're just going to call it the E1 from now on, because it ain't the A. The A1 is already a promotion out in Hamilton. That's Ethan Page's promotion. The W1 sounds like you're trying to get a job and a work visa. And then the E1 just sounds
I got to fill out my taxes. The WG1. Is it a 1099 or a WG1? I don't know.
I don't know what to do. So I just call it the E1. It's the Elite One, but that'd be fun. There's going to be some good matches in there. I don't know, going back to something you said, I don't know how much of a ticket driver it's going to be, at least at the beginning. I think once they announce who's in there, that's definitely going to drive some interest, but it really comes down to, like, other than Bryan Danielson, which I have my feelings about that and how that's going to play out. Having Bryan as one, and then you got to fill out 11 other people and make sure that it's enough, that it's a big enough card or big enough field that the depth of the rest of the show doesn't go to hell.
No, well, I feel like there's been a lot of talent that has needed to get back on screen. So I think it's going to be something that's really good. I think what's good about it for live sales is you now know when you go to a live event that you are going to have a match with stakes on it no matter what. Like, that I think is very good. I think there's a cool story. Pulowski gave this booking and I loved it, and I've been championing it since. This idea of Claudio having Wheeler Yuta under his wing and Bryan Danielson taking Daniel Garcia under his wing while he's in this kind of like lost phase could be really, really compelling. And I love the idea of a Bryan Danielson, Daniel Garcia finals for this to get there. And it's continental, right? So you could also pull in people from other promotions, and they have so many working promotions. I think that could be a really good call. But there's been so many faces of AEW that have needed to get on television, and I think this is a good way to keep that feeling fresh. Like, you could have Lance Archer in this destroy people until the semifinals and then whatever. So people who have felt like they're not on a track, or people who are getting their feet established under them, like a Will Hobbs or whatever, could be really, really good. So I'm really looking forward to it. I also love the G1. So this is just something that I'll probably love because I love tournaments. I think tournaments are great. As much as I usually don't like battle royals, I do love tournaments. And it's just always good to have storyline setup coming out of it, and you're going to be between pay-per-views when this finishes, I believe. So that's good, because you can start building to another pay-per-view in this. Like, maybe Swerve is in this and something gets set up. You know, there's a lot of possibilities here. So.
The finals are at World's End, are they not? I think they said the finals at World's End. The finals, I think, are actually at the Florida tapings on the 27th of December, so just before World's End.
I was going to say, that's good timing, I feel like, because you're going to have something with stakes that's carrying you through this period of full gear to World's End. It doesn't really have to conclude at anything magnificent for World's End, but it'll probably drive you into Revolution from a what got set up out of their programming aspect. So that's not bad. Could be cool. It could be really cool. I hope they do it right. I love when tournaments give you storylines as a jumping off point. Like, that just, nobody loses when tournaments are booked well. Everybody comes out looking fresh as a daisy. But I would just love it if Danielson got to win a tournament, because he doesn't hold belts and everybody wants him to win everything. So I feel like him winning this tournament could be good. But if he adopts Daniel Garcia in the process, I think that could be awesome. So I like it. I think they've done a good job with the past week and a half of programming on AEW. Like, it felt like they needed some shots in the arm. So I'm glad we're getting it.
I'm trying to think of
probably it. CM Punk wins it.
Yeah. So. Yeah. 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 Exactly.
Let's just keep views up and say that CM Punk's going to win.
Punk's going to win. I don't know who the 12 people are. And also we don't know what the winner of this whole thing gets, because Tony didn't say like, oh, winner gets a championship opportunity at World's End or whatever. So we don't know who's in it. So therefore we don't know if champions are involved. I'd prefer if they're not. I mean, I know G1 typically does. And then if the champion wins, then the whole thing is moved.
Joel, I actually have a major announcement about that.
I'd love to hear it. Let's go.
I think it's going to be for a title shot at the Intercontinental Championship. What is it?
Is this 1999? Jeff Jarrett in a Good Housekeeping match?
What's wrong with me?
The International Championship is the title.
The International Championship.
I used to say this all the time.
The Mid-Atlantic Championship.
I'm trying to put together
the Mid-South title that is on the thing that Orange Cassidy holds. The international title. Because it's the continental one, I feel like I've decided that the stakes for it should be, if you win that, you get a shot at that title. That would just make sense to me.
I'm going down the roster. I'd actually put Kyle in there. I would put Kyle Fletcher in there, given that he's got nothing else really going on lately. Archer, Yuta, Brian, and Garcia seem like they're in it. It seems like they are going to happen, because Lance Archer, you don't just bring back to TV randomly unless it's Battle of the Belts. And then that came and went and he was still on TV. So it feels like he's going to be a part of this. Keith Lee would make sense to make him a part of this, unless you're going to send him down to Ring of Honor, not down, but send him to Ring of Honor to participate in the Ring of Honor Television Championship tournament that's going to be announced this Thursday. Or maybe next Thursday if they decide that they want to push it another week. Sorry.
Huge announcement. We're making an announcement next week is what we got this past Thursday.
God bless that they are so aware of how the announcement strategy works that they screwed up the major announcement that they could have made this week and gotten away with. And people would have been like, yeah, that was cool. That's a good announcement. Instead, they're like, when they said, okay, so it's Brian and it's Tony standing there. And I was just like, okay, Tony's going to say Brian's part of All In and that the tickets are going on sale. And then he does it. And I'm like, okay, great. And he didn't blow his load by being like, huge announcement. And then they did the Continental Classic. And I was just like, no, guys, you could have done the huge announcement. People would have been fine with it, because he didn't do the full gear tournament this year, which everyone was waiting for you to announce. Instead, you turned it into this, which is good, but you could have made it. You could have pumped it up. We would have been into it.
So my public relations spidey sense was tingling after the big announcement thing. I can't remember I think that was the week before, so we might have already talked about this, but the more I thought about it, the more I was like, I bet he was supposed to announce that Ric Flair was signed and they were nervous about the reaction. Because if you say you signed Ric Flair and the reaction is bad, that's an awful look. awful look on television.
I don't know if that's what they were going to do.
I don't either. It just felt like with the nothing announcement that was, it felt like they almost bait and switched themselves. But they've also been trolling with major announcements for a while, so who knows?
That's the thing. You got to know the levels to this. There are levels to it.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you. With professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
I would, back to tournament talk, I'd probably put Miro in there.
Yep.
I think whoever stops him from getting to the finals, whether it's Andrade or someone else, there's something really, really cool that could be done on a story perspective there.
AR Fox, maybe.
AR Fox, a good guy to put on some great matches and probably lose earlier in the tournament. That's a good call.
Juice Robinson's another guy I have because he deserves that opportunity. Also has the experience. He's also, again, just like AR Fox, another guy that can go in the ring, can give you a great match and be highly entertaining and even lose. The only name, Kate, that I need Toru Yano.
Mike Mizanin.
No, this is the E one, not the G one. Listen. We got to talk about how the Miz came out in that Fatal 4-Way, and everyone was super excited for Mike the Miz Mizanin in G4 2024. G1,
that's right.
2024. Instead, we got to talk about Toru Yano being in the E one.
Hey, him and Joey Janela had a banger on the Strong Show. All right. They did all right.
Little Birdie told me Joey Janela is going to be on In the Weeds on Wednesday, so get ready for that.
A little bird told you?
Yeah, he was supposed to be on this past Friday, but his flight got delayed, so he couldn't
join us. I'm more interested in this bird that you have that's talking.
You should know, so Joey Janela doesn't actually speak to people via the internet. He's very, very old school. He sends carrier.
He seems it, yeah.
Yeah, he sends carrier pigeons.
He sends carrier pigeons.
Don't know how he got my address.
Kind of weird, but I respect it, you know?
Yeah, no, someone did it, and that's just great. But
the chat, Brian Danielson's daughter told you that. That's excellent.
Sometimes, chat, you're good. Sometimes you get it. I will say this with going back to Brian Danielson and being in the E1. I'm a little concerned. Because
I love when we get concerned on this.
I'm worried, Kate. I'm worried. I'm scared, in fact, that it might be tough for Brian, who has unfortunately, you know, been dealt some injuries, some freak ones for that matter. And he's got a January 4th match against Okada at the Tokyo Dome. And is about to do 11 matches in like 3 weeks or whatever it is.
So you're on the Zack Sabre Jr. train of he should be put in a Zorb ball and protected.
I wouldn't go that far, but yes.
Let's mummify him. I get it, but I also think a couple of things. One, Tony Khan's got to put him on TV as long as they have him. And he's contracted to AEW. So I'm so excited for Okada versus Danielson at Wrestle Kingdom, but you can't baby him on the program of where he's contracted to for that.
I'm going to.
And the other thing is, they really are freak accidents. Like, if he was someone that kept injuring the same body part or whatever, but, like, dude broke his orbital bone on the most basic move that you could possibly be doing at the start of the match. A collar elbow tie-up.
Kate, you got it wrong. It was an elbow, an errant elbow to the face at the end of the match, right? Didn't you read the reporting?
That's right. That match that just happened to be agented extremely gently around Bryan Danielson. If it was a thing where it was like, man, this guy's elbow just can't get healthy or whatever it was, I would be so in agreement with you. But they've just been such odd things that it's almost, it's just kind of that thing of like, well, then he would just never be in the ring again, you know? Like, it's such an odd thing. So it just, what weird instances every single time.
Yeah.
Look at why Adam Cole's out. It's because he jumped off the stage weird. Like,
look at how Punk treated winning the world championship. Came out that Wednesday, jumped into the crowd, broke his foot.
Like, of course, right? It's all of these things. It is funny because I completely understand the school of thought of not doing insane Darby Allin or Lucha spots to preserve your body for your career and life after your career. But I was like, it's never. These injuries never come from 450s or whatever. I think long term, there's certainly an argument to be made there, but I'm like, it's always dumb shit like this. Like, it's always jumping into the crowd, jumping off a stage, collar and elbow tie ups in the beginning. Like, it's a tough argument to maintain if you're of the old school thought or whatever, but
and yeah,
like, which I actually more often than not am, but yeah, Pac getting hurt off of a baseball slide.
AI,
like it's,
yeah. The
it's
AI just... bot just mentioned that. And I was going to bring that up too. He broke his fibula after taking a baseball slide. That's just the way it goes.
It's just anytime I was going to say step between the ropes, but I guess as soon as you come out the curtain, you're
thrown to it. Oh man. Anyway. Yeah, there's enough going on in AEW right now that they've pulled themselves around in quite a way that Jeremy and I are feeling a little more optimistic when we talk about AEW on In the Weeds. It's no longer a big slog of being like, oh God, what happened to this company? And then the chat being like, you guys hate AEW, be like, you should too.
Well, as an I was gonna say, that's really brave of you as a known AEW hater. Yes. You know what I mean?
I need everyone to understand just how bad this company is and how much we hate it. We are back going to text Will Washington for tickets.
Well, someone's got to balance out Molly Bell. I mean,
right? God. Someone has to not pay them and still show up to the shows.
Which was also very funny because that piece was largely critical. So good on them for screenshotting the one piece of it.
Well, that's usually how it goes. That's how you're supposed to do it. You're supposed to take the one thing that you think will be a thing.
Get a hobby. That's all. Just like
get a job.
Get a hobby. Get a job.
Although I will tell you this, for the first time in my life, I used ChatGPT to write a cover letter.
It's great.
I feel like a fraud.
It's great. No, please, God, use it. I know a bunch of people writing cover letters that were like, it does a better job than me. I'm using it.
I know, and now I'm going to. And then I read an article on futurism.com about a guy who applied for like 1,000 jobs using something called Lazy Apply. This is not a plug for them because I can't for the life of me figure out how to use it. But he got 20 job interviews out of that. And Lazy Apply is like click of a button, they just apply for you. So instead of him applying for 1,000 jobs, he just clicked a button and got those job interviews. So it's like a time reward thing. It's wild.
That is, whoa. Good
yeah.
for him.
Yeah. Now I have ideas, Kate. Although I feel like I'm going to get calls from Best Buy and McDonald's. Like, no shade at retail, no shade at food service. The people who work in those services are very, very important, and they friggin' rule because they deal with a lot of bullshit. But it ain't for me anymore. I can't do it anymore.
Yeah. No, I'm loud and clear on that.
Yeah, I hear you. What are we going to do? What are we talking about?
I don't know. This is your ship. You steer it.
I steer every ship on this channel. It's very upsetting.
Yeah, no, that's a you problem. I just show up and ramble.
That's how I feel. The only difference is I had to make the thumbnail. Should we cross the aisle? As they
sure.
Say? All right, cool. So the Democrats. I mean, that was bad.
Woke is weak, Joel.
Define woke. That's usually how it
is. I can't.
Yeah, there we go. Shout out to Glenn. You suck, Glenn. Let's talk about War Games.
War Games.
Talk about Asuka doing the exact same thing everyone expected of her, but ruling at it, and that is turning and joining Damage Control. Let's go. Love it.
This is great. This is great. I gotta say, I'm so impressed by Bailey. Had like this episode of SmackDown was a roller coaster of emotions for Bailey, and she did so well with all of the storytelling in it, like her acting in it and her hesitations feel authentic. It's really, really good. And I just think Triple H has done such a good job of how much he's using his women's wrestlers on television in meaningful spots. I love that the build to Survivor Series has not been brand supremacy. It's been really, really, really good. And it also made Asuka feel very important. And even when she had her title, she wasn't feeling important. So really, really nice to see. We've also gotten Io like standing on her own as a champion a lot in this story. And this is going to probably be the biggest pivot of that. And that's just refreshing because champions should feel like the most important people on the show. So I love it. And I think it's going to be whether they pull across the aisle for Becky for the good girl side, whether they use Michin or whoever, like, I think it's going to be something that's really, really good. It could be a great spot for Jade to debut because that would play into her strengths of how, I mean, literal strength. She's very strong. Like, there's a lot of cool stuff that you can do there. And it can also hide some of the nerves. If you're nervous in your first match on the WWE main roster, it could be very good pacing wise for her. Like, I think it could do a lot of good. So we'll see. We'll see. A lot of people think it's Becky, which I don't have a problem with. My only complaint with that is her and Charlotte should never be on the same side of anything. Like, those are two people that are lifelong rivals that should be this.
You can play the enemy of the enemy as my friend for now, you know.
Well, and Charlotte's a face right now. I just don't think Charlotte is great at the face thing. So,
and Becky and Bianca have history together in War Games. That's really that's what they can pull from. Last year at War Games, Becky and Bianca were on the same team. They won. I think they were the only they were the sole survivors on their, or not sole, they were the survivors on their team. And then later on went to the press conference and were basically saying, you know, Bianca says, "I want to beat all four horsewomen," and now I got to cycle through all the names of the four horsemen in my head. Becky says, "I want to be the first woman to win the Royal Rumble twice," the women's Royal Rumble, of course. So it makes sense to have Becky be the final woman, but it also doesn't make sense because it's like, why her when she's not feuding with anyone in Damage Control, you know, other than her being like, Bailey's a dope. And then that's her in. So like the recruitment is going to be the big story. I don't like Jade being part of this. I think it really undercuts her importance. I think the idea of putting Jade in a WWE ring is to showcase her as a singular star, as somebody who doesn't need to be on a big team to start, especially one that's full of, like, I know they call them WWE superstars, but like the top of their women's division. It doesn't make sense to me to have her show up. I would keep her on the back burner for now. Make sure she is ready. Take your time. I also have a feeling that she's NXT bound because you see her more there than you would do anywhere else these days. And on top of that, I think she's going to be debuting at Deadline. I think that's her start. She does not need long. She just needs a few months to figure out if this is, if we're good and let's move you up and put you in the Rumble or maybe get you at WrestleMania, whatever. They have their time. They're not going to waste it, but also they want to make sure they get it right. So I don't think she'll be in War Games. Doesn't make sense to me.
No, I think she's going to smoosh Lyra Valkyria, unfortunately. Unfortunately, because I like Lyra, not for Jade. I think it's a perfectly logical place for Jade to enter. I think you could do a heck of a job with the recruitment side for Jade though too. Like all of a sudden all the top stars are want her to be there and she's like, why would I come in and help you guys? Because like there's some powerful things that you could do to make her look really good in that of this. You're right, this team is full of stars and they all want her. It could also set up an enormous heel turn in the match if you wanted to throw her on the heel side. But I also just hope that she debuts at either opportunity soon, because we just saw her getting out of cars and talking to people, and she then has not been like on TV. So
well, no, they had her appear in NXT in the arena during the Becky and Lyra match. She sat on the throne. She watched the match. They went back and forth. She's been in the arena. She just hasn't been. She's been largely backstage. The first it was a progression. It was she was announced. She got out of cars. Then she was backstage. And now she's in front of the audience at NXT, but they kind of pulled back from Raw and SmackDown. So they kind of had a little bit of like where she ends up, but she hasn't been in front of the arena audience on Raw or on SmackDown.
Yeah, and it was just weird because it felt like for a few weeks in a row, she was chasing Becky, not Jade, or not the NXT title. So that maybe that was just to keep things like, where's she going to go a little bit? But we'll just wait and see. We'll just wait and see. But I think the recruitment of the last person on the good gal side is going to be a fun story, no matter who they pull. Like, unless they just default and are like, it's Mi Chin, because she's here and a face, which isn't the worst, honestly. It's a natural story. But like, you do have a couple of weeks here, so it could be fun to play with, you know, them being like, we need a ringer and we've got to get Becky over here. How do we do that? Could be something that's really fun.
Okay, but what if it's Tamina?
I mean, there's nobody meaner.
She is definitely the meanest.
The meanest.
Nobody meaner than Tamina.
Is there anybody that we're not thinking of? Beep. I mean, you could do an NXT call-up. It's very, very easy. Oh. Like, are they going to call Cora Jade in or something?
No, I think they still have stories to tell with Cora down in NXT, and I think she has some work to do as well. She's far from perfect. Roxanne.
I can't relate because I'm just
perfect.
I'm perfect.
That's what the super chats do. Will Chisholm sent us one saying, when Kyrie said, I forgive you, Bailey, me and my daughter said, you lying. And by the way, I love the presentation of Kyrie because they brought her back. She still has like a pirate look in her gear, but man, she don't look like it when she's in street gear. She looks like she's going to beat the shit out of you, and it's good stuff.
We talked about this a little bit on Friday when Sean was on. I know there's people that are like, don't just group all the Japanese women together, but it's not just because they're Japanese. It's, to me, it reads as they all have history with each other in NXT, and they all offer something different in kind of a women's trio that I think is really good. Like, Asuka is so hard-hitting. Her strikes are amazing. Her suplexes are ridiculous. She's like very athletically built and very hard hitting. Io offers a lot of the same things, but also has this ridiculous moonsault, right? And in War Games matches puts her trash can over her head and is going insane. Like, she's got this whole other element to her. And then Kyrie is obviously much smaller in build and has this awesome elbow drop and can do so much aerial stuff that I think what I like about that idea is the same thing that I like about like a House of Black, where it feels like all three of those guys are so different that it makes it feel like the opponent has no idea how to prepare for all of those forces all at once in a match. And I think it could be so, so much fun. So I'm looking forward to that. But I know everybody, when people were like, so-and-so should join the Hurt Business, they were like, well, not everybody who's Black has to join the Hurt Business. Like, and I get that. And I get we don't want to see that with Japanese representation either. But I'm like, no. I think there's more there because of stories from the past and what they could offer regardless of heritage.
I spent so many weeks trying to get Cameron Grimes to join the Hurt Business. And nobody wanted Cameron Grimes to join the Hurt Business.
He would be great in the Hurt Business.
He can wear a suit. He won't wear a shirt with it. Well, now he like traded in his suit jacket for a shirt, and it's very weird.
I've been asking for Bobby Lashley to send me a suit for weeks.
Yeah, he ain't gonna do it. I'm sorry.
I know.
Yeah. My one, I will put this out there for the millions of people watching us here. By the way, leave a thumbs up on the video if you haven't already, because you have to. Not because you should, but because you have to. Legally, you are obligated.
It is true. It's true. It's in the YouTube terms and conditions.
It is. Same thing with the super chats and supporting women. That's the whole thing, right? That's the bit. That's the reality. My one addition to the SmackDown side of things is Zelina Vega. And the only reason I say that is because she's about to almost become a woman without an island. If the LWO is breaking up, the story is Santos and Rey and Carlito, maybe the other two dudes, but Zelina's just going to be out there without anything to do. So for her to come out and be like, yeah, sure, I'm pissed off, I want to go beat up some baddies, that's the one thing she could do.
That's a really good call, and someone whose name hasn't been mentioned very much. I like that idea.
Again, that's cool. She has, we know she can go. She knows she would probably have a lot of fun in that match, but it's just one of those moments where it's like, yeah, why wouldn't she? She's pissed off. Her group just got disbanded. She was so attached to it. And now she's probably not joining. Well, if she joins Santos Escobar, I don't hate that. The heel turn will be nice, but if they don't do that, then I'd put her in War Games.
Sure. I didn't think about her going with Santos. That's a cool idea.
They got to replace Electra Lopez.
Yeah. That was so weird she didn't get called up with them, because she was very, very over.
It was not.
Very, very over.
It wasn't that weird. They want
more than she has work to do in-ring wise, but like Zelina's been mostly a valet. Like for the most part, outside of the fact that they went to Puerto Rico, wanted to have her in a match. Like, so, and she was very good at that aspect of things. But she's doing stuff at NXT now, and that's cool. It was just kind of like, oh, they left one person behind.
This is gold. I love it when people do this. What if the fourth woman on the babyface side is Mako Satomura? Can we stop trying to book Mako? Poor Mako. Let the woman just like quietly coach in peace and do her thing.
No, she's, I will not let her do that.
I think she's fantastic, but everyone keeps trying to book her, and I'm just like, she's not coming to NXT like main roster. Like, they brought her in for that one PLE so that she could not eat a pin.
She had a whole story with Roxanne.
Then they did the respect Roxanne, and then Roxanne passed out, and I'm so scared, and yada yada. But like leading into that, they did the combination match, right? The Mandy Rose, Mako, and Blair Davenport match.
Blair, yeah.
And I was just like, yeah, they're doing this so that they can pin Blair and not pin Mako. That's all it was.
Sure, but like that was definitely Mandy's best match, I think.
Yeah, of course. I mean, it's easy when you got two women that caliber working with you.
Sure. I don't hate that, because of if you're going to go Joshi like full tilt, and then you have like, if you're like, who knows how to neutralize these women and is as much of a badass as this group, like that's not too far of a reach. I think that is something that most of the WWE fan base, it might be lost on them what Mako's legacy is, because like the way WWE is selling out right now, like they're getting those casual fans sucked in, and they're not going to be the ones that are looking up Mako Satomura matches and understand her significance on the main roster without some sort of introduction. I feel like you would have to have her on TV for longer than we have a build to Survivor Series, I think, to be able to pull that off properly.
I don't think he's wrestling anymore.
Coach?
Yeah, the coach. Good shout, but I don't think he's going to be in the Survivor Series match. Let's talk about
that. I think they meant Mako's a coach.
I don't know what you're talking about. No, we're talking about Jonathan Coachman. ESPN's own Jonathan Coachman. ESPN right. Golf guru, Jonathan.
Or the sitcom?
Yes.
Do you remember the sitcom coach?
Yeah, of course. Craig T. Nelson? Who can forget?
Absolutely.
That's right. Great show. Great, great, great. Anyway, on the men's side, Drew and Randy, are we pretty much set in stone there? What do you think?
Well, one of them was reported on Fightful Select, at least.
Yeah, break the paywall. It's been a while.
Everybody else did.
Yeah, it's already
been aggregated. Everyone else did. So, definitely Randy Orton, which I think is great. That's a really great spot for him to return. I'm just glad that he can. Like, that was not a baby injury. That was a long injury that had him out for a long time, so for him to be able to return and be cleared is very good. That's great news. Drew on the bad side, probably that makes the most sense. Would have to be a recruitment campaign on that side too, but I don't mind that. And what's fun here is you have authority figures in play, right? So there's a lot of possibilities of how they could make that work. Like, they could have to trade for someone or whatever. Like, I've really enjoyed that they've had Nick Aldis and Adam Pearce managing their respective brands. That's just something that anytime there's an authority figure around it, just everything makes more sense. So good shit there.
I want so badly. They're not doing it because they're probably just going to have the five matches that we're going to get, or even four, probably five matches. And I don't think they're going to do it. I wanted a 5-on-5 traditional Survivor Series match, Team Pearce, Team Aldis, but I wanted the stakes to be that the winning team, whether it's the surviving members or the sole survivor, whoever it is, that winning team gets to compete for the world title of their choosing, or the opposite brand, whatever it could be. Just add the stakes, right? The Raw team wins, they get to face Roman Reigns at the Royal Rumble. The winners, they determine it by a 5-way match or a 4-way, 3-way, 2-way, or sole survivor gets the match. That's the Rumble. Or vice versa. You know, you go to SmackDown, you get Rollins, or you get your champion on your brand, whatever you want to do. I wanted a match like that, but I don't think we're going to get it because we've already filled up the card to this point.
Very full. Yeah. I think also from when Triple H took over, that would have been too quick to snap together.
They started planting the seeds and it looked like something you could do with a bunch of your undercard because Seth doesn't have a world title match. Roman's not on the card. You've got guys like LA Knight who aren't wrestling. KO's not wrestling. You know, for better or worse, Grayson Waller and Austin Theory are two others that, like, you can put together a team of baby faces and heels and they'll all get along for the idea of facing each other for the world title shot. And everyone kind of gets uplifted through this and it doesn't make it seem like, can they coexist? It is, no, you have to, because if you want a world championship match, you got to get along to then have a fight against those people to get that match. And
no, that's what we call, can they coexist, actually done well. That's exactly what that is. Is that they're not losing sight of the thing that they're fighting for. I wanted initially, I thought this would have been really cool. There's some people that just feel like they've been ripe for a main roster call up. And now some of them are getting called up. So this doesn't work. But I thought it would have been really cool to have a mixed SmackDown and Raw team against like 4 or 5 people from NXT that deserve to get called up. And the stakes are we get to stick around the main roster if we win, and then you just have them win. And I feel like that's a cool story because the NXT brand, obviously not this era, but has a very rich history at Survivor Series, right? And I thought that could have been such a cool way to get the Creeds up, Braun Breaker up. It seems like they want Carmelo to stick around, but Dragon Lee could have been in that. Like there was a way to kind of have that build out. And I thought that would have been a really clever way to get some of these overdue call-ups moved up. But I'm just glad we have a build that makes sense and isn't you wear this color t-shirt based. For the first time in a while. Like it's been very, very refreshed WWE product. And it's been a lot nicer to review, to be honest, because like other than when there's a go home double tape or whatever, there's not many episodes of late where I'm like from wall to wall, this episode was bad. And when it is a situation like that, you kind of at least understand why, right? You're like, nothing of consequence is going to happen because they are in a different country. And this was taped and we spread our roster really thin. So it's just been nice. It's been nice to have a build like this. I got to say the Raw side, I cannot possibly care about Cody's All-Stars versus the Judgment Day at all because they've already faced each other so many times that there's no heat left for me. I'm like, I've seen all these guys face each other and it's been so obvious and it's been going on for so long that where the rest of this build has felt kind of appropriately paced, this has felt very long in the tooth to me. And I just don't have an interest in it because I've seen a permutation of this close Raw like every week for however long. So I just find that side of it kind of boring, which is funny because I actually like Raw more as a show more often. But I think the SmackDown side of this has gotten built better.
That's fair. The Raw War Games match, I hear what you're saying. And that's kind of why I'm saying with the possible inclusion of Drew and Randy, you kind of put in a little bit, you put in a little bit of flame to that fire because this is the blow off, hopefully. And then, of course, the big story coming out of that is more than likely Randy Orton turns. And who he turns on is the big question because his first return story is going to be big. Does he go through Christmas feuding with Cody going into the Rumble? Or does he feud with somebody else? That's, you know, that's one of the big questions that I have. I know we're limited on time and you're going to go over to Sour Graps over on Select in a few minutes, but I want to get your thoughts on that. And then I want to ask a very important question.
Well, the answer to your question is Yeet.
Right. I forgot about that. He's also there, isn't he?
So.
I did forget about the Yeet. Well, that was easy.
There could be something really fun in Orton and Sami Zayn. I think that could be really cool. Cody makes sense. They have the history of legacy together. Randy Orton automatically feels like very important at the top of the card, so it keeps things fresh for Cody. But there's just, I was thinking about this during the world title match on Raw. And then I was thinking about it again during Mark Briscoe's match. I was like, man, Mark Briscoe and Sami Zayn might be two of the best wrestlers in the world at eliciting hope, particularly in matches where you already know the outcome. Both instances this week, it was so interesting of, like, I know the outcome, but Sami Zayn just makes you believe so much. Like, it's so easy to get behind that guy. And in a match, like, some of his near falls, like, I'm on the edge of my seat kind of stuff. Like, there is genuine emotion evoked by his performance in matches. And it's so impressive to me that he can get me that interested in matches in general, but like when there's foregone conclusions. Same thing happened with Mark Briscoe, where I was just like, God, he's so good at some of these. Like, that was just a great match too, some of the sequences in there. But like, I remember one of his first matches back on the ROH brands, he like went to tag for Jay and Jay wasn't there. And I just started like crying. And
yeah,
it was really like, really just like messed you up a little bit. But there was a number of near falls kind of in that match on Wednesday too, where I was just like, damn, these are two of the best in the world at that specific thing happening. And they're so different as wrestlers that I was like, God, this is like the magic of the wrestling part of, which is my favorite thing about wrestling is the wrestling. So I just feel like when someone's that good at that specific thing and with a heel, like Randy Orton is a heel, him turning on that guy could just be incredibly satisfying. But it does feel like we're headed toward Drew versus Sammy still. So I can leave the window open for that, I guess.
I would probably do Cody and Randy in the summertime. Going into SummerSlam, make that the match. Because there's no way you can blow that off now. Unless you do, you got to have Cody in the Rumble. Or, again, I think Cody's going to win Elimination Chamber in Australia. In Perth. Make it a huge moment in that big venue. Getting all the pyro and everything, getting ready for Mania. I don't know, maybe Randy takes him out and they do something at the Rumble instead. I don't know. But I don't think that Randy and Cody is the play until there's a world championship involved. That's where I'm at with that.
I think too, Randy and Cody is a really good program. And I think Randy and Sammy is a really good program. And what's been refreshing about the past 6 to 8 weeks of WWE programming, and in my opinion at least, has been there's been a lot of instances where I don't necessarily know what the outcomes are, but I feel like for the first time in a long time they do know what the outcomes are, and that like they have a plan, and it's I get to sit back as a fan and try and like play with fantasy booking or whatever for sure. But It's really nice to have actual, like, man, I don't know the outcome of this. And I didn't even think Crown Jewel was that strong from a booking perspective. But every match that was set up going into it, there was pretty much like either one of these people could win and it would make sense, which is that part of it is very, very sound.
Yeah.
So that it's just nice to kind of have that feeling back, especially this is a weird time of year for WWE. nothing really matters again until January 1st turns over, right? Like, realistically. But they're still having some compelling stuff built out, which is nice.
I'm going to hit these last three super chats, then a very important question. First of all, Will Chisholm says, they're going to jump Bayley out of damage control like they do with Bullet Club. I do think the end game is Bayley versus Io for the title at WrestleMania 40. I mean, if Bayley's going to turn babyface, that's a good match to have. Oh, but does she overcome Io and all the heels on the way to winning that title? Is that a big enough story?
Well, and is the story, there's a lot that you could do there. I would love that for a lot of reasons. One, it just means Io is holding the title that long, but I can't imagine they're not going to do Charlotte versus Bianca for the title at Mania 40. If they manage to have Charlotte in a non-title feud for like the first time ever, God bless them.
Charlotte and Kyrie.
I wouldn't actually hate that, to be honest, but I think more realistically, you might get the Joshi stable that looks like it's lining up versus Bayley, Dakota, and question mark, whether they want to use that as a legend spot, an NXT call up, or somebody that they just feel like would be a good fit that's already active. That could be really fun. And if they give that real time, that could be a hell of a match. Mariah. Really, really, really good. I would love for it to be Bayley versus Io.
Mariah.
I would love that.
Yeah. Okay. Will Chisholm also sent a super chat saying, and I'd have Bayley beat Io at WrestleMania. They can jump Io out. Like how AJ kicked Finn out of the Bullet Club and got replaced by Julia. Sorry, I'm a mark. No, you're fine. You're good. You're, unless you're
all marks, mark. By the way. I fucking, Mark, oh Chisholm. God. When people are like, oh, you mark, I'm like, you mean I'm emotionally invested in the thing I'm watching? That's the point.
You're a professional, Cade. You're supposed to be a journalist.
I'm sorry.
No cheering in the press box.
I am a robot.
Bleep blurp.
Blurp blurp.
It's okay.
I have no opinions.
That's right.
I am only facts. That's I don't think you have to jump Io out. I think she just takes the loss and they have to try to figure out how to get back to the top of the mountain. I wouldn't undercut it like that. But I would have Bayley go over there for no other reason. Like, can we give this woman a big moment at WrestleMania, please?
Nah, you're asking too much. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
And then Jay Miller rounds out the super chat saying, what do you think about Damian Priest bailing the cash in for more turmoil in the Judgment Day since they teased Damian being kicked out? I'm going to give it to you first. What do you think of that?
I just don't give a fuck anymore about this money in the big briefcase.
Wow.
Just cash it in and get it over with, whether he wins or loses. I feel like Judgment Day is maybe on the way to breaking up, regardless of if he wins and realizes he doesn't need them, or if he loses and JD McDonagh costs him or whatever. That angle with Sammy I thought was so stupid at Crown Jewel. Like, I couldn't have hated that more. Triple H, you are banned from masked members of the Bloodline or Bloodline adjacent showing up hooded in at pay-per-views. We're done. Enough of that.
The only reason that it made sense to me is because Sammy is so over there that, like, it was an on the screen pop. And again, the Saudi shows are their house shows. They're glorified house shows. And this is kind of a house show thing to do. I'm not saying that, like, oh, it's perfect booking, yada yada, but I'm like, in the confines of what I'm talking about, I was like, no, that's what they would do at a house show. They would have whoever's really over in the town stop them. And I like that Seth Rollins the next night, that's how he got the world title shot. He came out and he explained. He was like, hey, you know, got the briefcase back because Jay White sure as shit ain't having to give back that title that he stole months ago and is still running around with, even though it's not his property and he's not the champion.
They did not show Sammy giving back the money in the bank briefcase. No,
but at least they explained
every
how they got there.
Other time that that's happened, there has been a match for the money in the bank briefcase.
But this time it was very simply the world champion being like, give it back. And he got it back. And then when Sammy gave it back, the world champion said, give him a title shot. I want to face
it. So why wouldn't you just let him cash in with the thing?
Because he doesn't
win the thing that's for a world title shot.
Briefcase. That's the deal. You have to have won the briefcase. And he didn't win the briefcase. He stopped the title shot. So
it's been whoever has the briefcase. every other time.
It's not. It's whoever has possession. It's not whoever has possession. It is the person has to have won it, and that includes a match for the briefcase. There was no match.
There have been feuds over the briefcase.
Yes, but this wasn't a feud over the briefcase. Sammy didn't pin Damian Priest to win the briefcase. Sammy just stopped it and stole the briefcase, therefore rendering the opportunity to cash in completely.
Absolutely no sense.
It made plenty of sense. He was sick of
Sunday
trying to cash in.
Absolutely no sense for Seth Rollins to say, hey, you have to give back this device that's for a title shot so that I can give you a title shot. That is the dumbest S in the world.
That's not what happened. Sammy,
it's literally what happened.
No, it's not. Sammy gave back under his own volition. He gave it back. Seth said he went in after Sammy left the office and said to Adam Pearce, he did the right thing. I want you to give him a title shot. That's babyface being a babyface, rewarding a babyface for doing a babyface thing.
It is trash.
Stop it.
This thing to give it back the next day with no protest, even though every time. That is so dumb. I stopped you from cashing in, and I took the briefcase with me so you wouldn't cash in. Because why?
Sammy was told to give the briefcase back. He gave the briefcase
back. And he just did.
Yeah, he did. And barf. He was rewarded for doing the right thing, because that's what a babyface does, is the right thing.
He stopped a cash in.
Right, and then meanwhile, you've got a guy who stole the world championship on the other show, where it's supposed to be the biggest, like, most important title you've got, and they're not telling it. You don't have Tony Khan or one of the coaches going up to Bullet Club and being like, give me back the belt or you're fired. This doesn't belong to you. And you can do a story.
I understand how stupid that is.
But like,
I understand how dumb that is.
I'll take one over the other.
No, I will take neither of that. You are not a good guy if you stop a cash-in for no reason.
You are.
Why? Because Damian Priest was being opportunistic. He wasn't cheating. He wasn't breaking any rules. That was well within his rights. And he just said, no, because I don't feel like you should. And I'm going to take this thing and then I'm just going to give it back the next day so that he can do the same recycled angle at a different pay-per-view. Caca.
The whole idea was that he didn't want to see Judgment.
I understand the idea. It's a bad idea.
That's fair. I thought that what came out of it was a lot better than things they've done before.
Well, the bar is pretty low since the last time that got cashed in on it was for a mid-card title during an open challenge.
A little bit different. Will Chisholm said Sammy the man would do that. He would. He'd probably do
it in the seats. You cannot be a good guy and stop someone from doing something that is following the rules.
No, but he was stopping someone who is inherently evil on the program from doing something that, yeah, technically he's allowed to do, but he was sick of seeing that guy do it in this way. We've seen people call their shots by
sick of seeing that guy do it in that way. He's never been able to cash in the freaking briefcase. I can't wait till this guy cashes in so this dumb storyline is over.
He's probably going to cash in during War Games after Drew Claymore's someone and steals it, and he's going to steal the title. And that'll be that.
Which is the same thing. Sami Zayn should have to stop him every single time.
And I'm sure Sami's going to try it. I'm sure Sami's going to try. Maybe they're going to hold.
Oh my God, what a fucking dork Sami Zayn is.
Good. I hope you keep that energy. Keep that energy, damn it. Okay, before you leave, let's get this out. Let's get this on the record. December, you're going to come to a final resolution now that you know ZSJ is going to be in the building?
For multiple reasons, probably. I think I'm going to be upstate that weekend anyway for some stuff with Excite. So I'm going to. I have to get my passport back in the mail before I do, because it's being renewed as we speak. So I'm hoping that it comes back in time. It should. I gave them plenty of time. But yeah, I'm hoping to. I also have never been to an Impact taping, so I would like to go just from that perspective.
We'll
get you there. Considering I will have driven half of the way already, it's much more possible and likely. And then, yeah, you put ZSJ and Josh Alexander on the same side of things in a match. That's a happy Kate. That's a lot of Tekker side
for me. It's Motor City Machine Guns, no less.
Yeah, oh my God. Like, what aren't we doing if I'm not going to see that? You know what I mean?
I'll get the mattress ready for you.
I could say that I'm Canadian and Japanese.
Oh, that makes absolutely no difference to anyone.
Canada jin des. There you go.
Very.
So I'll be Canadian for one weekend, and I can say it in multiple languages.
I'm looking. Vegas is looking likely for me, so that's looking good.
That rules. I'm gonna sing Katy Perry at you every week on the show.
Don't know where I'm staying yet, but your money will help me. So donate all the donate the super chats. Just donate to my PayPal.
That's what you get for waking up and big. Joel, get up and shake the glitter off your clothes now.
No, thank you. I did
that. Now.
I couldn't. I did it earlier. This is a fresh shirt. It wasn't glitter I was shaking off. It was baby.
Is that a Jodie Threat shirt?
It is a Jodie Threat shirt. Speaking of Impact Superstars.
She's the best.
I bought it in Hamilton at A1 when she was on the card like 2 years, three, four. Oh my God, 4 years ago.
After all the S you've talked about Hamilton.
Yeah, Hamilton's awful. I'm not going in February to an A1 show. I think that's dumb. I love you, Julian. I'm not going to Hamilton in February. Nobody should go to Hamilton, let alone in the dead of winter.
I don't know what you get against Alexander Hamilton, but
plenty of it. Hey, leave a thumbs up on the way out. Kate, tell them where they can find you because you're going to go.
Well, go over to FightfulSelect.com and watch me and Alex complain about Chris Jericho and then book our own tournament for this continental tournament that we have coming up on AEW. Gonna have some fun behind the paywall there, but you can normally catch me Sundays here sometimes. It's a mystery. Mondays on Fightful Select, Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday on the main channel of Fightful doing your NXT, ROH for as long as it's a thing, and SmackDown review. And then Wednesdays at the Mark Order Podcast. You can also follow me at Miss Kate Fabe on my own YouTube handle where I do a show called This Week in Wrestling, which is just me and my thoughts, which is scary, but it's going all right. And some watch-alongs like we did yesterday for New Japan Strong, which was a really, really fun show. Mike Bailey and ZSJ, dude. Ridiculous.
They're going to see each other again soon.
Mike Bailey, like, needs to be in the conversation for wrestlers having one of those years, because like Ospreay's having that, ZSJ's having it, but like Mike Bailey has also been having one of those years, and it's awesome. Let's go.
Yeah. Oh, and Billy Starks and Mike Bailey had a match at JCW today.
Let's go.
Very good. So go watch that.
Oh, shit.
You want
but go over to FightfulSelect.com and hang out with me and Alex right now.
Yes, go hang out with them. I'm back tomorrow morning, Monday morning, as I am Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays at noon. No, 10 a.m. Eastern until noon. Wow. Over on Overbook. That's this channel. In the weeds. Jeremy and I talk about wrestling. 2 hours, have guests. You know how it goes.
In the weeds.
And then Thursdays, Post Impact, main channel, Cross the Star. She's great. And then Kate and I, Sundays, we're here. Maybe sometimes. Not. I just send out a tweet and we find out.
It's a gamble.
Yeah, it is. Just like Vegas, baby. Hard to kill. Just like this show. I'm at Joel Pearl, J-U-E-L-P-E-A-R-L, ladies, gentlemen, friends beyond the binary. We will see you in the next one. Cheers.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get half gallons of delicious Kroger milk for $1.29 each. Then get flavorful Tyson Natural Boneless Chicken Breasts for $2.49 a pound, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.